Welcome back to another episode of the Study Break podcast. Today I'm here with a special guest.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and I'm a senior and I live in San Diego, California.
So today's topic is how to start your own initiative. So just to give a brief overview, Rachel and I, we go way back. We've known each other since elementary school, but throughout high school, we've been working on an initiative together that we started the summer after our freshman year. And this initiative is called Boba for Books. Rachel, if you want to give a little overview on that.
So Boba for Books is a nonprofit organization, and our main goal is just providing resources to low-income communities. And so we donate books and school supplies, and we'll raise money or we'll like sell boba in bulk, and also just like do book drives. And just our main goal is just like making sure that everyone has equal opportunities in achieving success on the education path.
Yeah, and this is something that we've both dedicated a lot of time and effort to, and it's something we're both passionate about, and I feel like we could talk about it for a long time. So, yeah, but starting off with a more fun question, what is your favorite place to get boba and what do you order there?
I like Tancha in San Diego. It's in Convoy, and I usually get an Uji green milk tea with tiramisu foam and less ice and no toppings.
Sounds good.
What's your order?
Oh, thank you for asking. I think I went to Pennsylvania over this summer and they had a Gongcha that I always went to. So I think a peach green tea with coconut jelly, 30% sugar. That's very good.
35%?
No, 30% because it's sweet for some reason. I don't know. But
I always get 100% on all of them.
There's okay. Like two people, like one that orders like full sugar and the other one. But like, I don't know, the listeners, what do you guys usually order? Maybe you're agreeing with Rachel right now and think my order is super weird, but
you're very Asian mom-esque.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I think it might be my mom because every time she's like, less sugar.
Maybe you got used to it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Maybe you guys should try it out and let us know what you think. Okay, jumping right in to the books aspect of our organization. Rachel, does education play an important role in your life? And if so, how do you think being a child of immigrants has affected your perspective?
I would say so, just because I don't know, like it's literally just been in my life for like what, the last 12 years of my life. And if I'm not in school, then I'm just basically waiting for school to start again. But like, I've definitely learned a lot and I really value education in terms of like when I'm like with other people, I feel like a large part of me getting along with them is just like having like an equal basis of understanding, you know? So I feel like that education, you know, provides that for everybody. And yeah. And then as for being a child of immigrants, I myself am an immigrant. But because my parents have sacrificed so much, and I know that sounds super cliche, but they gave up like what, a place that they've been in their whole lives into a new country with like a bunch of different people that don't necessarily speak the same language, and what, all their friends, family. So like, I feel like to me, I kind of have to live well and like do well, study well, just to like make sure like their efforts weren't just like for nothing. And yeah, so that definitely probably has made me value education a lot more. I'm not saying like that other people that don't have immigrant parents don't value education, but it's like that motivation to like do better, to make my parents proud in a sense, like has made me really value education.
Yeah, definitely. That's very relatable for me too, because when my parents moved here, the same thing as you and your parents, like it was a big culture shock, new language, new customs, new traditions. And they did that for like education and for the hopes of providing a better life for their children. So I think that ever since I was little, education has also been a big part of my life. And yeah, sometimes there is that pressure to like study hard, get good grades so that your parents' sacrifices weren't for nothing or weren't, what's the word? Or like, don't go to waste in a sense. And sometimes that mindset can get toxic, but I do think it's something that a lot of children of immigrants or just immigrants themselves can relate to.
Oh, another thing too is like they didn't go to college either. So it's like I'd be the first generation in a sense, like to attend college also in the United States. So another thing is like my parents don't really know like what to do in terms of like for example, in like elementary school, there's this, gate testing, right? And my mom like just had no idea. And otherwise I probably would have, if she knew, like every other parent that didn't immigrate, like because she's was an immigrant, right? Then like I feel like I would have tested for that and had those gate kid opportunities, but it's like because I've had experience like with my parents not really knowing what resources are out there, like I kind of wanted to provide those resources too.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And for those of you who don't know, GATE program, it's a program for advanced students, I think in both math and language arts, and you have to test into it. So you might have something similar at your school, just under a different name. But yeah, same thing with you, Rachel. I think just providing those resources that we may not have had access to, or like a lot of children in less fortunate areas don't have access to, is something that could make an important impact in their future and just in their educational careers. And yeah, I think it's something that we both are really passionate about and want to continue doing in the future as well. Okay, so bringing it back to Boba for Books, Rachel, if you want to talk a bit about how we started the organization and the story behind it.
Okay, well, Angelina was the one that reached out to me and she wanted to do something, but we weren't sure on what we wanted to do. And so we were just kind of thinking, we were stuck. And then I guess Angelina was thinking about like what we both like so that we'd actually be like interested in what we were doing. And at that time, I was literally addicted to boba. I drink it like every day and I would post it on my Instagram story every day.
Yeah,
And
she had like two whole highlights.
I had two full Instagram full like story highlights all full of boba and they were all just boba drinks. That's probably a lot of money. But so I guess she put that in books together and she was like, "What about this?" And so I was like, "Oh, that sounds like a cool idea." And then we just went for it.
Yeah.
That's what I think the story is.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think a lot of factors led to that because we both were interested in community service and like helping our community. And we both had experienced rejections, whether that was from Key Club, ASB, yearbook in middle school. So those things, they really helped us get to the place where we are now, because I think if we weren't rejected from those places, we might not have taken the next step of starting something of our own.
Oh,
So
yeah.
this is cliche, but like everything happens for a reason, and sometimes it is for the best, even though it may not feel like that right now. Do you want to add anything?
I cried after getting rejected from ASB in 7th grade and in yearbook and 8th grade. I don't know, but like that definitely has helped with like in terms of like running Boba for Books just because of like people not responding to us or like and other things like ASB not initially approving us, which is our student like government at our school.
Yeah, we've definitely had our fair share of obstacles along the way. And yeah, just transitioning into that, do you want to expand on some of the hard, not hard, some of the obstacles that we've had to deal with and how we dealt with them?
Like I said earlier, at the very beginning, because we started off just as a school club and not like an organization. And so, in order for us to be approved as a club, we had to go through an application process. And then ASB contacts us and they tell us that our club is tabled. So, it's still under debate on whether or not they're going to approve us. And we were like, oh, because we did not expect that like at all. And so, we basically had to come together. We like made a little document listing what we were gonna say and like how Boer for Books needs to be on campus. And so then we met up with like a kind of table of people, and they just couldn't listen to it, to our little speech. And then we got approved. So that was one obstacle. Another obstacle, I guess, would be like, I don't know, like we kind of struggled with getting people on campus to like participate and like get interested in the club. But I feel like with our like persistent activities and like what we've done on campus, I feel like we've definitely grown like a good member base.
Yeah. And on the topic of struggling to get people involved, I think it's important to try to be creative with your outreach methods. So, for like multiple months at the start of the club, Rachel and I, we would go into the plaza of our school. So, like the middle of our school during lunch, and we would just like hold different activities, whether it's like promoting an upcoming fundraiser or just like a fun craft making station, just so that more people knew what Boba for Books was and that we were able to get our message out there and hopefully recruit some new members. So if you guys are in the process of building up your organization or thinking about it, if you do come to that point of struggling to find people that are interested in joining your initiative, it's always important to think outside of the box. So instead of doing what everyone else tells you to do, like, oh, make posts on Instagram or oh, promote on social media. Maybe try doing something in person or something that you think would be unique.
Yeah, and another thing was like we would get stuck on what else to do, like something new to do, because obviously our members don't want to do Kahoot after Kahoot after Kahoot. And so like we were thinking of different things instead of just like our traditional fundraisers at a local business. Like we were like, oh, what if we sold boba at games? So we did end up actually doing that at like I think it was girls water polo, and then also there was a girls field hockey game. And so like yeah, just like trying to find new ways to do things.
Yeah. And going back a bit to how we started, we did mention that we are an organization now, but we did start off as just a club at our school. So you don't necessarily always have to go through the traditional route of starting as an organization and then trying to get members that way, because sometimes the best way to build your base is through just like starting a club at a school or like a church or like a library where there are already a base of people that might be interested in what you're doing, and then building it up from there. So now we have four branches, and we can say nationwide now because one of them that's just starting is in Tennessee. So it's really just you can start small and then slowly branch out. You don't have to make it big at the very beginning. What kind of self-growth did you experience in the process of starting our organization?
Well, first, like stepping out of my comfort zone, obviously, because I had never started the club and I didn't really know what came along with that. So just like being more one, it would be like making me more confident in trying new things, especially because like I tend to not like change, and because like I like being comfortable where I am. But then like by having started the club, I feel like that has made me become more like adventurous, I guess, like in different extracurriculars, like I don't know, joining new clubs and starting new clubs. Oh yeah, another thing would be like because we were starting something new and we had to like get people involved, and because they weren't just gonna be like, oh, okay, we'll join. Like we have to give them like some like we have to push them in a sense. And so like things like Club Rush, which is like an event where different clubs at our school advertise to like typically like more underclassmen, because the upperclassmen already know what clubs there are, but it's for everybody and they just walk around, and each clubs have their own little booth where they kind of explain what they do and try to get more members. But so in order for clubs to have an effective Club Rush, then people have to actually go out and like strike up conversation instead of waiting for people to come up to you. And so that was like a little awkward for me, especially in the beginning, but it was like I knew that I needed to do that in order for both her books to like actually grow. And so that also helped me in terms of like speaking skills, conversation, and because I have to get along with these people. I can't just be like saying whatever and then them not wanting to join because they didn't like my energy or something like that. And I don't know, like starting things like it gives you changes in like I don't know how to explain, but like it helps you like mature, I would say. Because another thing is like there's like a lot of rejections that come your way or like things that you don't expect to happen. Like for example, we try to reach out to schools to find places to donate, but sometimes these schools just don't respond to us. And so it's kind of like, whoa, I didn't expect that. What's the next step? Like, what do we do now? Do we just move on, go to the next school, or do we continue trying to get like following up with another email or calling them? And yeah, there was like one time where one of the schools didn't respond in a while, and we had sent up follow-up emails, so we decided to go in person. And yeah, and also that also is like knowing when to like kind of move on and when to continue going. Obviously, like I'm not telling you like, oh, maybe you should just give up, but it's like there are certain ventures or different pathways that just aren't worth going on because like if we continue trying to pursue that school, maybe we couldn't have found like another school to like spend our time on instead of trying to like reach out and reach out and reach out.
Yeah, and when you're in the process of starting something new, you have to be able to accept and understand that your first idea or your first event might not work. Like, it's not always going to be a total success, or people aren't going to be super responsive right away. I think that's probably the idealized version that a lot of us hope for. Like, oh, our first event, we make like a bunch of profits from our fundraiser, and we're able to buy a bunch of books and donate. But in reality, it's a really long journey of slowly building your organization up and involving more people. So if you do have that persistence and perseverance and that understanding that not everything is going to be perfect and go the way that you want it to, then you will be able to be resourceful and be able to adapt to any changes or obstacles that are thrown in your way. Were you always like an extrovert?
I would say that like elementary school, I like it sounds weird, but like I would like low key watch people, especially like the popular people. And then middle school, I don't know what happened, but it was like I knew that things were gonna change because everyone always talks about, oh, you're going to a new school, like things aren't gonna be the same thing. I mean, I guess that is true because I met a lot of people from like different elementary schools. But I guess from that point, I just decided, oh, I need to like get out more. I can't just like watch. I have to get out there. So I think with or without the club, I would have be like still have like this extrovert energy. But yeah, I think it was more just like in terms of like leadership and oh, also like surrounding yourself with people that you can trust to work with, like especially like for example, our exec team has had some changes, and I don't know, it's like it's good because like we if without those people that were originally in our exec team, like we have no guarantee that it would be as successful as it is right now. And without like the support of like for example from our other branches, because some of the branch presidents in the org are like a part of the core team of like the organization. And so it's like without them, like maybe certain things wouldn't have been possible for like, for example, like our community drives or some of our events.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to being able to be a team player and understand that you can't just take everything on your own. And you can start with an idea and begin outreach, but over time you need to you need to develop a team that can support you, because doing everything yourself and just putting in all your time and energy into one thing is not sustainable over a long period of time. So having those exec members that you can trust to get work done and rely on is something super important. And even now, sometimes it's difficult to find that balance of, oh, do we do the work by ourselves, or do we delegate the work to our other exec members to do? And being able to decipher that is something very important, especially when you're running a larger organization. So, yeah. Going back to just introversion versus extroversion, I think I differ from Rachel a bit, because I think, yeah, I do notice that she's more on the extroverted side. Like, she's very comfortable with talking with other people. And I think while I am able to do that with like the skills that I've developed over the years, I think that I would still call myself an extroverted introvert. So, like, being in a large room full of people, it might not be like my first pick, but I think involving myself with activities like Boba for Books has helped make me more comfortable and build up my skills with that. So, for you guys listening, if you feel like, oh, I'm an introvert, like I could never start an organization of my own, that sounds terrifying. Just know
Terrifying.
that, terrifying. Just know that not every good leader is an extrovert. And you just have to be able to play on your strengths and use the skills that you already have to maximize your potential, and you will be able to start something of your own, but it just might be in your own way or in your own style.
Oh, and another thing is like, because we're like different, like, and also like our skills are different either. Like, for example, Angelina's in DECA, and so she has those skills from like competing or like in that field, whereas I don't, and I'm more interested in STEM, but even so, like, we're still working together. So it's like, if you feel like you can't take it on by yourself, you can always rely on someone else too. Like, you can find someone to work with. You don't have to do it all alone, which goes back to like finding people you trust. But it's like, just because you don't have those strengths doesn't mean like you can't start anything. Like, you can find someone that does have those strengths to help you balance it out.
Yeah, and going off of that, when you are finding a person or a group of people to potentially start something with, I think this may not be what everyone wants to hear, but it's not always the best idea to start something with one of your best friends or with someone you're super close with. Because, like people say, like there has to be like a work-life balance, and where it's not necessarily your best friend being also your co-founder of your organization. Like, you need to learn sometimes to separate those things. And of course, you don't have to partner up with a total stranger. I'm not recommending that, but someone that you are friendly with and you know them to a certain degree, I think at the end of the day might work better than necessarily partnering up with someone that you're best friends with, because there may be disagreements and there may be conflicts, and you don't want to just agree with what the other person says just because they're your best friend, or you don't want a relationship to end because of a conflict over like something organization related.
I was saying it's like roommates. You know what they say about choosing college roommates? It's like you don't, they can be like your best friend ever, and you would still hate living with them because you don't know what they're like, you know, like living wise. And so that kind of translates over onto like work ethic and their habits. You don't know 100% like how well they do. Like, even if you know your friend is like really smart, that doesn't mean like you'll be compatible working wise.
Yeah, for sure. I like that analogy. I think it's very helpful. Yes. Okay, just wrapping it up to something more general, what advice would you give to a listener out there that might be interested in starting their own passion project like we did?
Find something that you're actually interested in, and don't just like go along with like whatever seems like to look best on college applications or something like that. Because if you're not interested or passionate about what you're advocating for, then your advocation is not going to be that good. You're gonna be like, oh, I love helping the turtles, and then you secretly hate turtles. Like, you're not gonna be happy doing it either. Like, you want to be able to happily express what you're doing and not like be like, oh, well, I'm just doing it. And another thing is, don't give up easily. Like, I know I said there's a time and place for when you do just decide to move on, but don't let that be your first option, because you never know what's gonna happen, and you can always push forward and like something amazing could happen. You could, like, because we put out branch applications, but like we didn't really, like, we weren't 100% sure if it was gonna work out, and then people actually reached out. And so, like, if we just like didn't even try to do that to expand, then it would have been like, oh, we would never have these branches. And so, yeah, do not give up easily, because, oh yeah, and another thing, like, as like I talked about earlier, like, we were originally tabled, like, we weren't 100% approved at the beginning, and if we had given up and moved on to another idea, then we wouldn't have four branches nationally. And what else? Again, find people you trust. That's a big thing, because people that you can't trust are people that end up making what you're trying to do not as good as it was before they were involved, are just gonna bring you down. So you need to understand what type of people are good for you and for your project. Yeah.
And lastly, I think don't be afraid to ask for help, just from the people around you, from your friends, from your family, people that might have experience with doing these things, or even us. Feel free to reach out. Our information will be in the description below. All right, I think that's about it for the podcast today. If any of you guys are interested in Boba for Books, we'll have our information down below, like our email and Instagram. So if you're just in need of any advice for starting your own organization, or you're interested in starting a branch of Boba for Books at your own high school, please feel free to reach out. But yeah, thank you so much, Rachel, for being a guest here today. I think you had a lot of valuable advice and input to share. So really appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Thanks for having me. And yes, what Angelina said, our branch applications are on like a rolling basis, and we're always accepting. So whenever your school has their applications to establish a club, just like apply for a branch too. Yeah.
Yeah, and good luck to anyone on the journey of starting their own initiative. And be sure to give us updates if you want. Like, feel free to shoot us a DM and
We'll
tell us.
cheer you on.
Yes, we will. Okay, so that just about wraps it up for today. Please be sure to tune in for another episode next Monday. And yeah, talk soon. Bye.
Bye.